As I was praying and preparing for this day, you can ask Christy. She's like, I thought you said this was going to be like a real short message, like real short. Like, come on, this is not real short. And it's not real long. It's not as long as they that shall not be named. I'm messing with them. It's not that long. But as I was thinking about it, one of the things that I actually was woken up in a dream about, and so I just felt that if anybody needed to hear it, at the very least I would study it, be faithful to him, and if someone needed to hear it, well then it was for you and I. Amen? So I want to talk about resurrection in its entirety, but I really want to focus on the fact that there's so many people who have this great fear of death. The end, that final breath. So much so that when someone like me tells you on days like today that he's resurrected, you kind of say, I don't know if I believe you. I'm not sure about that. So is it okay if I take a few minutes and show you how real this is? How the fact that he is alive now and forevermore, that it's real? That 12 guys, plus all the others, but 12 guys specifically, didn't just craft this crazy lie and keep it the entire time that they were alive, tortured, beaten, whatever. They didn't change the story. Nothing was altered. They said, we know what we saw. We know what we heard. We know what we experienced, and we will not stop talking because he and he alone was worthy. So today, I want to start off in 1 Corinthians. We're going to spend some time in 1 Corinthians 15 if you're taking any notes. 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to start at verse 1. Paul says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Have you taken your stand on the gospel? Bold for your faith. I know that I know that I know. Take your stand. He goes on to say in verse 2, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. You say, well, what did he preach? Well, here it is, verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5 says, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500, I'm going to say that again, 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living at the time of his writing, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And I highlighted that on mine because I wanted to emphasize that. He didn't say they're dead. He didn't say they're done. He didn't say that their story was over. Nothing was going to happen. They're in the sweet by and by, whatever that is. We don't even know, right? It wasn't any of that. He made it so trivial as to say, they're just asleep. And the thing that I like about that language is when Jesus was called to go visit one of his friends, the brother of Mary and Martha, you know his name. What's his name? Lazarus. Someone named their kid Lazarus, and I will high five you. But anyways, Lazarus, what a cool name. And they said, Lazarus, your friend is dead. And what did Jesus say? He's just asleep. That should have given hope. But they were like, he's asleep. I don't think he understands how this works. He's not asleep. Like, I don't want that kind of sleep, right? He's not asleep. What are you talking about? They were confused. He says, he's asleep. And he went on his way to wake him. This wasn't in my notes, by the way, but we're going here. Here we go. He gets to the point, and he says, roll away that stone.
And their first objection wasn't like, oh, sweet, we're about to see a resurrection. They said, but Lord, and I'm going to use King James Version, he stinketh. If there's ever a thing that you do not want to be called or said about you, is not only that you stink, but you stinketh. All right? He stinketh. This is bad. Are you sure? Right? He said, yeah, roll it away. And he said, with all the authority that is part of his being, Lazarus, come out. And what happened? Did Lazarus stay still? Did he remain asleep? He obeyed the word of his master. His master said, come out. And guess what Lazarus did? He was like, all right, I guess I still got stuff to do. I'm going to come out. And he said, go get those bandages and grave clothes off this man. Give him a shower, whatever, you know. Just come on, right? He's not going to get none of this good meal until he gets a bath, right? Whatever he said. But he spoke to the dead things. And the dead things had to obey. They didn't get a choice in the matter. They didn't even say, I woke up on the wrong side of bed this morning. I don't want to do that. It's too early. How long was he in that tomb? What was it? 3 days. And the thing that I love, and Alan and I have talked about this a few times, but each time Jesus resurrected someone, the amount of time that they were dead got longer and longer. It's almost like he was building up for something. He was like, hey, you think that's cool? Check this out. You think that's cool? Wait till you see this, right? He waited till one stinketh, right? I wonder if they let him know, hey, Jesus might have agreed that you stinketh. They probably didn't let him live that down, right? Hey, you're Lazarus. Are you the one that stinketh? The Lord says stinketh? Ah, dang it. I'm not going to ever live this down, right? What a nickname. But it had to obey. So I wanted you to hear the some have fallen asleep. Our loved ones in Christ are asleep. They're not dead. You're not ever not going to see them again. You will see them and you will celebrate and you will take joy because now they have new bodies, new life. It's not the same as it was. It wasn't the same old aches and pains or like, you know, you ever talk to somebody that's like, hey, I'm a little bit taller on this side. So if I stand just right, I'm like so tall. But if I do this, like I'm shorter, like I just want to try to kind of lean in on my left side a little bit. Well, they won't have that problem. Now, for those that, I thought this was funny when the Lord and I was talking about this. For those that work out, I'm sorry, but still, he said you're getting something better, not worse. So don't stop. I mean, if that's what you like, do it. And for those that maybe like a few of the burgers with the nacho cheese fries and chili and all the good stuff, you get something better too. That hope is for all of us. That's why when they saw him on that morning in Matthew chapter 28, they're like, what'd you do with the Lord, right? And he said, hey, it's me, right? They didn't recognize him at first. He looked a little different. Amen? Are you happy that you might look a little different? Like maybe I'll have a little bit more hair on top. Fit into those pants that I wore in high school, right? Or the problem that my sons have, mom and dad will stop having to buy me bigger shoes. The size of my feet is fine where it's at. It doesn't need to grow anymore. I'm good. I'm in balance, right? Perfect. Just like he is perfect. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to jump down to verse 12 through 14. Paul is dealing with this very same doubt. He said, but if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? There were people like that when Jesus was there. There were people like that after Jesus was there, right? Oh, I don't know if I believe in that. Not sure about that. And honestly, they could have had a good reason. They might have said, well, the pagans believe in that, and they got some weird stuff. Like, you know, you seen what the Egyptians did? You know, we lived there for a while. We probably helped them do it, right? Who knows? But did you see what they did, how they embalm them this way and do all this? That's weird. They had some weird views about afterlife. So maybe they thought in their mind, surely that's not how God works. He said we're not supposed to, you know, serve idols and serve him and him alone. So maybe they had a reason, but nonetheless, they were still missing it. And going back to that story about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, one of them even makes the statement. They said, I know you can raise them at the last day. I know you have that power. I know you have that ability. That's awesome. Chris's version, lots of awesomes in there. That's awesome. But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. You don't have to wait till later. You don't have to wait till you're ready. What happens if God says you're ready and you're like, I don't know about this. Not sure, right? He knows. He knows when you're ready. And he speaks life to those things. And often the frustration that we find is that we're fighting him. We're fighting his will and his way. And we think we're not ready because maybe there's pain involved. And we're like, I thought they said this whole Christ life was not painful. That was so great. That when I die, I'm going to get wings, playing the harp, just kind of floating around, right? I like to say sipping iced tea on a cloud, you know, none of that. Who would want that? I don't want that. That sounds pretty lame, actually, right? That's not what happens. See, even we have weird views of what resurrection is. What happens? Well, let's listen to what he says. He challenges them. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. You see how crazy that starts to sound? They saw it. They knew it. Then not even Christ has been raised. Verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. So is your faith. What's the point if he's not alive? What's the point if there's no hope for tomorrow? All these songs that we sing talking about, because he lives, right? I can face tomorrow. There's hope for tomorrow. But then he challenges them yet again in 1 Corinthians 15, jumping down to verse 20 through 26. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's using that language again. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die because of our sin, so in Christ all will be made alive because of his obedience. You see that? But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Amen? Verse 24, the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. And you have to understand, if all these things were given to him, all the manipulated things that we've done or that the enemy's done has to be defeated. All those things must fall because his is superior, his is better. Amen? For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And guess what? Verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. When you see an enemy that is done for, are you all that scared of it? I know I'm not. I'm like, bro, your days are numbered, right? We saw your ticket. We actually saw it getting punched, right? Like, we know what your ticket says. It's not good. I know what my ticket says. My ticket says, because he loved me so much, he gave Jesus Christ, his one and only son, that if I believe in him, I will have everlasting life. Death's ticket doesn't say the same thing. Death's ticket said, I hope you like someone real hot. Because that's where you're getting thrown. The lake of fire. All eternity. I don't want to dwell with death in the lake of fire for all eternity. Do you? 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 57 says, "So I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." And then he tells us a mystery. I love this. I love when he does this. Listen, I'm about to tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. I'm going to adjust that word for you. The dead will be raised immortal, not dying. And we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Listen to this. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And then we get to say what David and Jesus and the saints say. Oh, death, where's your victory? We're taunting it now. Where, oh, death, is your sting? Do you realize what Christians, what believers in Jesus live like when there's no fear of death anymore? When that doesn't loom over you and control your what you say and what you do? You start looking a little wild. You start looking a little bit crazy to some, right? But it's the good kind. It's the kind that sees lives changed. Because you're like, listen, I am cuckoo. You don't have to be this cuckoo. I am. But if he saved me, he's going to save you. So good news for you today, right? Amen? Are we sharing that good news? Are we making sure that it's good news? Or are we watering it down? Are we changing it to fit an agenda or a theology? Uh-oh. Wrapping it in a nice packaging, but it still stinketh. Are we saying what he said, doing what he did? And when he did those things, what did he say? I only do what I saw my Father doing. I only say what I heard my Father saying. That takes a life that is completely submitted and making sure at every point of the way we're doing what he wants, not what I want. That's hard. Someone who's got that figured out, raise your hand. We need to talk. But that's hard. And that's why we're consistently reminded throughout Scripture to work out our salvation. Fear and trembling. God help me. Help me grow more than I did yesterday. And tomorrow I'll continue growing more as I follow after you. Eyes on you the entire way. That's why we say that, by the way. I want to share just a couple last points here and we're done. We'll have one more song here. But I called this, or we called this, as I was talking with the Lord about it, the reconciliation and the hope that we have. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 15, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, drives us, gives us passion and fire. Because we are convinced that because one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." I live for him. I work for him. I go for him, right? That's what we're saying. Jumping down to verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," we're going to say it again. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone," right? "And the new is here." Say that. The new is here. The new is here. Amen? "And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us" what? "The ministry of reconciliation." I want to do a little dance on this one just for a minute. The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation.
That means when you hurt me and offend me, it's my job to say, I forgive you. And when I hurt you and forgive and offend you, Tina, will you forgive me? You got to let those things go. Because if Jesus says, you sinned against my Father, you broke all his laws, you murdered, you stole, you name it, you did it, and I forgave you, you can't forgive that. He died for you and I. He made a way that we can get back to God the Father. And he says, forgive them. Forgive them. And not only did he say it, he showed it to us. That while he was on the cross, tears in his eyes, the last of his breath, because he didn't have a lot, he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Now that's hard. I'm going to be real with you. That's hard. It takes time. It takes processing. It takes working out your faith with him. Say, God, I want to be like that. That family member who hurt me, I forgive him. That friend who did me wrong, I forgive him. That kid who's kind of just gone buck wild, I forgive him. I don't want to hold anything against anyone, because just as you have forgiven me freely, I forgive them freely, right? So listen, verse 19 and 20. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore, you have a job. Don't know if you know this or not. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Here's the description. As though God were making his appeal through us. Are you working? So we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? Final verse, 2 Corinthians 6:1. As God's co-workers, we urge you to not receive God's grace in vain. For he says, listen to this, man, this was so powerful when he said it to me. In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you now, this is Paul, I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of his salvation. And what he asks me to do for any and everyone here, I'll move this out of the way, you come up, but there's people in here who are like, I'm not right. I'm not right with him. I don't feel it. Like you said, like you know where you're going, Pastor. You believe that when you're done here, you're in heaven with him. I don't have that confidence. I want to leave here with that confidence. You might even take it a step further, like, I don't even know who you've been talking about for the last few minutes, right? But I want to know, because what you're saying sounds real good. It sounds better than what I'm going through right now. So I encourage you, as we sing this final song, I Surrender All, would you surrender all? Would you give it all to him and say, take it. I've tried. I'm not making much of it. But you take it and use it for your glory, right? So would you stand with us, whether you're coming forward or whether you're just standing in agreement over any who comes forward and prays this prayer with us. But yes, I surrender all. Be Lord, be Master, be my Savior, be the Lord of my life. Take it all in Jesus' name. If you want to do that, please come up and we'll pray with you.